I don't know what you're laughing at, Steve. I'm just over here respecting the bell. That's all. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. That means it's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Office is located 2260 Oakmont Way, Eugene, Oregon, 541-484-2444. I don't really say Oregon like that, so don't send your hate mail to me. I don't like reading anyway, so please don't. Crunch Exchange, I'm going to bring up some stories from around the world of sports, give Steve a prospectus from those stories. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling said prospectus. There is also an option for pending. The biggest story in the NFL the last 3 weeks has been Jimmy G, that dude who single-handedly bringing back the once proud franchise of my San Francisco 49ers. That might be a bit much.
Why?
The fact remains, however, that Jimmy Garoppolo has not lost a football game as a starting quarterback. That spans from his days with the Patriots and the last 3 weeks with the Niners. So it appears the number one trait he brought from New England is the fact that they don't really lose football games. He is also the first 49ers QB since Jeff Garcia in 2000 to throw for 300 yards in consecutive games.
Wow.
So to say Niners fans have been waiting for a good quarterback for a while might be an understatement. Now comes the Jags. They have clinched a playoff berth and can win the AFC South with a win. So a lot for them to be motivated for in the Bay. The prospectus, Jimmy G continues his win train this week and denies the Jags.
And after the game, he's being interviewed. He's like, I'm Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't lose games, those hacks like Montana and Elway and Unitas and Brady. You want to know the honest to God truth?
Steve Mariucci was on with Tiki and Tierney,
yeah.
and he said that Garoppolo's start with the Niners is better than Montana and Young's starts with the Niners combined.
It's hysterical. Yeah. You know what? I'm a gambler. I'm playing the hot hand. Buy it. He's the greatest quarterback ever.
Cash money, boy. The first ever college football early signing period started today, I guess. Oregon got some good players, really good players, in fact. They also lost some due to Taggart leaving on his 2017 Burning Bridges tour to Florida State. The early signing period is looked at as a good thing for kids and coaches who can get a lot of the process behind them early. Some kids can enroll early or just enjoy the last part of their senior years unbothered by a constant barrage of texts and calls. But it also happens right smack dab in the middle of bowl season and coach turnover season, so some of these kids could end up signing, and the coach they signed on for might not be there next week. And it also leaves coaches like Cristobal and even Taggart scrambling to put together last-minute commits. Matt Prehm tweeted that apparently a lot of coaches don't like the early signing period.
Ooh.
But then again, they also still have March. So the prospectus, I guess February. The prospectus, college football's early signing period is a good thing.
I'll tell you what, we had a really interesting conversation for a guy that knows George Schroeder. He literally gave us the answer, and it's pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
I mean, he's going by the words of coaches,
yep.
And they're all like, some of them are like, I'm not so sure about this yet.
The San Francisco Giants swung and missed at acquiring Giancarlo Stanton this offseason, but today, thank you, they went out and got Evan Longoria, not Ava Longoria, that would be better, from the Rays, yes, in exchange for four players, including former Duck pitcher who had Tommy John surgery, Matt Crook, and once top prospect Christian Arroyo. Longoria hit 20 bombs last year, which would have led the Giants, and now they finally have an everyday third baseman, but he is now 32 years old and actually dipped last year from the 36 bombs he hit in 2016, and he's owed $86 million through 2022, which is the reason, of course, the Rays were quick to let the face of their franchise go. The Giants were awful last year and needed something to keep fans interested, and this should do that for a while. The prospectus, going out and getting Longoria in exchange for good young talent was a smart move by the Giants.
Well, the question is Jeter also running Tampa?
Jeez.
Across the state? First of all,
it's a fire sale.
I'm not going to call Arroyo.
You get an all-star, and you get an all-star.
A former prospect. He was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick out of high school not that long ago. I don't think they get Longoria without Arroyo.
He was the top
deal.
Prospect for the Giants.
Basically,
right?
Other than Helio Ramos, yeah, who like literally is in their farm system, he was the best they had to offer.
All right, so it's Tampa. You know what the deal is. I like the move both ways because Longoria, like you said, all of a sudden it's 32 years old. But the Giants were willing to spend big bucks for Stanton, so I don't think financially it's bad. I actually like the deal. I'm going to buy that.
Thomas Davis of the Panthers had a bonkers hit on Devontae Adams on Sunday. Horrible textbook targeting call. Went right at his ear hole with his helmet on a block off an interception. Then kind of stood over him. Just a bad look all around for everybody other than Adams. So the NFL suspended him for 2 games for it. Then, as expected, it was reduced to 1 game on appeal. Now, a few weeks ago, Rob Gronkowski had a similar suspension, and his late targeting hit ended up with a Bills player on concussion protocol. Same situation. 2-game suspension dropped to 1 on appeal. But why? If the NFL is sending a message that hits like that aren't okay, shouldn't they stick with 2 games? What say you? The prospectus, a 1-game suspension is justified for those players.
Gronk should have got more than 2 games because it was clearly after the play. It wasn't a football play. It wasn't the heat of the moment. And Tommy Davis should have gotten 2 games. So what was the prospectus again?
Why are you asking me questions, man? I'm asking you questions.
I'm sorry.
A 1-game suspension is justified.
Not even almost. Sell the hell out of that.
Sabrina Ionescu just broke the Pac-12 triple-doubles record when the Oregon women beat Ole Miss at MKA. She is 1 triple-double away from breaking the all-time NCAA record. She is just a sophomore. Last season, she won Freshman of the Year in the conference and the country, averaging 15.7 boards, 6 assists per game. This season, 17.7 boards, 9 assists per. And her leadership is sort of unquestioned at this point for that team. So here's the question. Oregon has had some amazing female athletes walk through its halls, mostly around track and field, but obviously Bev Smith comes to mind. Liz Brenner played 4 sports here. Kelly Blair LeBounty played hoops and track and field, was in the 96 Olympics, and at hand won 3 USA track and field championships. Breanne Tyson-Eaton won bronze at the 2016 Olympics. So the prospectus, Sabrina Ionescu is the best female athlete ever at Oregon.
A little too early there, and didn't Raven Rogers just win the Bowerman?
She did. Yes, she did.
That seems to qualify.
It's pretty high ranking.
I'll tell you what, out of the gate, she's in the race, but she's still got a good half dozen, 8 to pass. So for now, I'm going to sell this. You need to readdress this in a year.
Boy, this is like textbook pending. I'm surprised you didn't go with that one.
Right now, that's an easy pass. It's an easy pass.
Hey, fair enough. LeVar Ball has had it with college.
Sell.
Perhaps his experience in Pullman wasn't as good as he said it was, but he has come forward to say that he will start a new basketball league for high school grads who either aren't good enough academically to play D1 or aren't interested in wasting their time playing 1 year in college before they're allowed to go into the league. And he even says he is prepared financially to pay players from $3K to $10K a month to be in the league. He says he's looking for 80 players to fill 10 teams that would play in arena is in Brooklyn, Atlanta, Dallas, and LA. His point seems valid. Players are essentially being held hostage by the NCAA until they fulfill that 1-year requirement and should be allowed an opportunity to play and get paid and still be seen by NBA scouts. So what do you think? $3K to $10K to play instead of going to Duke for a semester. The prospectus, BBB's league is a good idea.
Is it possible to already be annoyed and bored by something that hasn't happened and doesn't exist yet? The answer is sell it.
I feel like you're just doing that just because it's LeVar Ball attached to
it. It's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
I don't believe that this guy's a Midas touch or anything like that. Here's what he's done so far. He raised a really, really terrific basketball player. One of them. That's all. That's happened before. This just in.